And guess what?
That's the sin of unbelief. That's the only one that's going to keep you out of heaven. That's the only one that's going to send you to hell. It's the sin of unbelief. You have to believe that the Lord is here for us. He loves us. He sent His Son to die on the cross and be resurrected.
Amen.
They foretold thousands of years before that He was going to come, that He was going to do it, and guess what? He did. And He tells us, and even today, if we look forward and look at what's coming, and He tells us that one day He will return, and that He will, it'll be it. That'll be all for this earth. And guess what? He's going to do it.
Yes.
A lot of people have started doubting and saying, well, it's been so long. Why hadn't He done it? Look how bad the world is. Why hadn't He came back already if your Jesus is really going to come back? And the only real answer that I can give them is, He loves you. He loves you enough to have mercy on you to give you another day to try to find the Lord.
Amen.
That's why He hadn't came back yet. Because He loves us. Because He loves His creation of man. He didn't want to see any of them die without Him. He sent His Son that you could be saved. So the only thing that keeps Him from coming back is that He loves us. He loves you. If you don't know Him today, He loves you. For the worst person out there that you can think of. And I probably said it too many times, but I listen to some of these true crime drama podcasts as I'm driving. And I hear some just people that do unbelievable things. Evil things. And it's hard to believe, but God loves them.
Yeah.
It'd be hard for me to love them. It's not for God. Anything on anybody's heart this morning? Song, testimony, anything need to be done? We might change it over to turn it over to my son, bring the message this morning. Anything on anybody's heart?
Pastor?
Yeah.
It's been a really rough week this week with all of us working, trying to get all the stuff done that we got to get done. Get my mom and my sister's house all cleaned up. And my brothers have been really hard to work with. Mainly my younger brother, William. It just dawned on me because he's so freaking miserable. He's just so miserable. I think he can't stand to see anybody, even in the tiniest bit of laughter or anything. And I've been praying for him, so it's working, you know. And I'm thankful. Plus, you could complain and be happy. But he made it really hard.
I think we can all take that advice.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can. I'm going to ask my wife, but I complain a lot about this and that. And you're right. I just need to be happy. God saved my soul. What else do I have to complain about?
Amen.
Anything else this morning? I guess he tells me he's preached here before. I don't remember it, but my son, he's a member of Southside Missionary Baptist Church, believe that or not, since that's where we came from, but I've talked about him a few times that as an earthly father, I'm very proud that he's following the Lord. Not anything that I did, but that he has taken off with trusting in the Lord, following him as I've watched him start to grow in his ministry. Not trying to go through any computer program, not going through what somebody else said, not going through an AI system that will write a sermon for you, but just talking to God. Listening to what he has and following. And it's not always easy, I will tell you, because I have wants and desires and things that I want to preach or say, but we need to follow God. And we say that about preachers all the time. It's for everybody. Follow the Lord. I'm going to have you come up, Matthew. Little Matt, Matthew Jr. Big Matt to everybody except for me, because I'm bigger than him. Come on now.
morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm very confident I've preached here at least once. Maybe twice. I might be wrong about that one, though. But I'm thankful to be here this morning. Lord's given me a chance to stand and preach. And I'll be honest, at first I wasn't this week. Earlier this week I was more told I should go preach here today. And I wasn't really planning for it or anything, but very quickly realized that the Lord gave me the call for a reason. That doesn't mean I get to schedule around things and think about how far ahead I want to wait until I preach again. It's when I need to preach, I preach.
Amen.
Amen.
So I'm thankful that the Lord has given me the opportunity to do that this morning.
Yes.
I would like to flip first into Matthew 26 and 6. In it, it reads, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, and as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment may have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured the ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also be this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Spot a little, I'll take a drink. Now, when I first read this scripture, when I was studying, I realized it's kind of sandwiched in between a lot of things that we talk about often. We have the Sermon on Mount Olives right before this, the last full sermon that Jesus gave to his disciples before he was crucified, and then right after this is the Last Supper. And I think often we brush over this and what it really is and don't necessarily take note of what's happening. And I'll be honest, when I was first reading it the other day, I read it and I thought, for a second, I kind of get where the disciples are coming from. Because they're watching as, and this is, the woman would most likely be Mary, who would have anointed him here. And I look at it and I go, well, Jesus didn't need anointing. Jesus, the Messiah means the anointed one. He was already anointed. He already was ready for what he had to do. But Mary came and anointed him anyways. Now, one, it was a great show of respect to anoint someone. It was a service to anoint someone. But also, this anointing is one of three different kinds of anointing that can happen that happens in the scripture. This one is a physical anointing. It was used for things like healing, cosmetics. This one, as Jesus said, is for burial. And as I kind of looked at this, I tried to understand it more, I realized I don't really know a whole lot about anointing. I looked at it and I was like, I know when you are anointed, anointing is basically smearing some oil on somebody's head. It sounds a little funny, a little weird, but it's putting oil on somebody's head. Well, what that signifies is a mark. Mm-hmm. A mark that you are separated and are special to God. And we see this throughout the scripture. I'm going to flip really quickly to Genesis 28 and 10. This is the first time in the scripture we see anointing happen. In it, it reads, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee, until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, How dreadful is this place! There is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. So we see here the very first anointing in the scripture is the anointing of stone. Now when I read that, I went, well, that didn't make sense. In my mind, I always assumed anointing was a person. Well, a place also works. This is another kind of anointing called ritual anointing. It is to dignify and set apart an even more special thing that signifies a closeness with God. Jacob had this vision of this thing that God had told him here in this place, and he knew it was special. He knew it was different. There was something about that place and where he was when he heard this that he needed to set aside. And often I hear from a couple members at my church at Southside, they talk about laying stones to set back upon. I think this is something like that. It is anointing and setting a place and a time to remember what God did for Jacob there. But this ritual anointing isn't just places either. It is also people. If you go just a couple, just a book forward in Exodus, Exodus 29, I believe. In Exodus 29, we get the anointing of the priests. The first verse says, And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil, of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron the coat, and the robe of the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. Thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them. Thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them. The priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. So this is again a ritual anointing. They went, they take Aaron and his sons and anoint them to be priests. That's another thing they do in this ritual anointing. People like priests, prophets, kings. King David's anointment is one of the very famous ones. I don't have it marked in here. I don't intend on reading it. But that's another one that most people often know. This anointing sets people apart. And Jesus didn't need it. Mary took the time anyways to get on her hands and knees, to work on the ground in the dirt, to anoint the Lord. And it's this beautiful picture of servitude and work. And, you know, I didn't even think about it being Labor Day tomorrow when I was looking into this. And my father talked about how we have a 24/7 work, and that work does not stop. And even when it seems useless or futile to us, Jesus can see it. Amen. Even after this work that Mary does, the disciples, the people you think are the closest to the Lord, looked at her and went, "What are you doing?" And even people here in this place, I mean, you have the sister who gives out the books of Luke, I believe it is, hands those out. I'm sure there are people all over the place that see you doing that and think that's useless. But I am confident that the Lord sees his people work and understands it. He sees our work. He appreciates our work outside of what other people think. We have been called to work. Maybe we want breaks every now and then. Look, I know I want a break. I want a break often. Look, I want to go home tonight so I can have my one day off that I have like four of all year guaranteed. I want to have my Monday off and not have to drive. That's how much I want a break right now. I get it. We don't get that luxury. But there's one more kind of anointment that I haven't talked about yet. If you want to flip to 2 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 21, it says, "Now he which stablisheth us within Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand." The one last version of anointing in the scripture is the anointing that I have, he has, she has, you have. Everyone here who's saved has been anointed by the Lord. This is different and separate and special than these anointments by men. They will never compare. You know, when I was trying to reading up on this and this version of anointment, I read a sentence, and I don't know whoever wrote it, what they believed in, how they believed in it, but I've never seen, it was a funny way for me to look at it. No bishop can go bring a bottle of oil and spread it on your head and it means much of anything to God. It doesn't. God anoints us. And as I looked into these different kinds of anointings and the different uses for them, I looked at our anointing and I realized we have all of it. Our anointing heals us. We are healed from our sins. There's a cosmetic use for anointing. We look different. Anyone who has been saved, they will get up and they will turn around and you can tell by their face they are a different person. Burial. This is the one that really got me when I was reading it. My old self is dead.
Amen.
God came and anointed me and buried my old self so that a new man can arise. Amen. Yeah. One that has a closeness with the Lord, one that has the ability to connect to him, that can pray to him and talk to him. There's nothing else. If it was just that, and I never got any of the other stuff, I'm okay. But we got even more.
Amen.
Yep. We are anointed, similar to how the ritual anointment is, we are anointed and separated from anything else. And it can never be taken away from us. Once you've been anointed, there's nothing you can do to reverse an anointment. That you can't pull the oil out of somebody's skin. It's not how it works. You are anointed forever. There is no changing it. It's beautiful and it's complete. And it outweighs any other thing that could happen. You are a marked person. A marked human as separate from everyone else. And as we stand and as we go out and think of work and this break in our normal work and how we have to be 24/7, know that you have something special that drives you. My body may get tired. It does get tired. My body wants to stop sometimes. My body wants to sit back and just let other things happen and let them be how it'll be and whatever happens. But my soul has been changed.
Amen.
My soul yearns for my body to work. Because when we do work, we feel that connection with God. We feel closer to Him. It's better. There's no other really way to describe it. It is better when you are working for the Lord. And I don't have a whole lot else to talk about today. I just pray that as we go throughout this day and we have this meal here to, after service, that we remember our work makes us better.
Mm-hmm.
Our anointment is special and it's different,
mm-hmm.
and it is visible. Nothing can take it away from us. And if we go out day to day and remember that, it'll be just a little bit better. And then it'll be a little bit better and it'll keep building. So please remember what the Lord has given you today.
Amen.
Remember that He has done something for you.
Amen.
It is not just an in the moment, I feel better kind of thing.
That's right.
It is lifelong. It's different. You're a different person. You look different. It is forever. And I thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
Because if it wasn't, I probably would have lost it by now.
Amen.
That's all I have.
One more that I looked up not too long ago that they used for anointing, and that was for protection. They would take and anoint the sheep, the shepherds would, and keep the flies and bugs off them. The Lord protects me.
Amen.
The Lord has set me apart. Something about when your son preaches to you, it hits you, and you feel what he's saying, and not just because he's my son, but because God was talking to me through that. I had a rough week this week. Sister Lisa talked about having a rough week. I had a rough week. And he probably got the worst of it because of my roughness that I had. And I'm thankful that the Lord is merciful and gracious. I'm glad He's more merciful and gracious than I am. Because We needed some talking. Me and the Lord needed to talk a little bit. And I'm really thankful you came up this morning. I know you were kind of told to come up, but there were some other things that needed moved around. And more than anything, I just wanted to be with Him for a little bit. But I'm really glad that I got that message this morning. Thank you so much. And I know it's not you. I know it's the Lord giving you those words. And I just feel good this morning. For good to be sitting in the Lord's house, to be sitting where the Holy Spirit's moving through. It just, it doesn't always have to be a service where you hear shouting and jumping and everything going on. Sometimes just that the even keel spirit of the Lord just saying, hey, you're safe, you're good. It's been good to be here this morning. Anything on anybody's heart before we might dismiss?